namaskritya
Nam
jivarotamam
Devim
sarasvatim vyasam Tatodayam virayat Nastapayeshu
apadadeshu
Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati-yutam shloke Bhakti-bhavati-naishtike Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the personality of God in Narayana, unto Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering services unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome in the heart becomes practically destroyed almost anew, and transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord, whose praise and transcendental hymns comes into being established as an irrevocable fact. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, the title of the chapter is Understanding Material Nature, and it's text number 14. Ashtiyastatra
Lanishvasati
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 Vinidro Nirankriya Vinidro Nirankriya
Vinidro Nirankriya
Shukshmendriya Manu Buddha Shukshmendriya Manu Buddha Shukshmendriya Manu Buddha Dishi Anindriya Lanishvashti Yastatra Vinidro Nirankriya
Vinidro Nirankriya
Buddha Sukshmendriya Mano
Buddha Sukshmendriya Mano
Yadi Shri Hamitriya
Buddha Shri Hamitriya
Vishwasati Yastatra
Vishwasati Yastatra
Vidro Nirahankriya
Vidro Nirahankriya
Buddha Sukshmendriya Mano
Buddha Sukshmendriya Mano
Sihanitraya
Buddha-dishi-hanitraya
Vinisvasati-yastatra
Vinisvasati-yastatra
Vinidro-virahankriya
Vinidro-virahankriya
Buddha-shakshendriya-mano
Buddha-shakshendriya-mano
Buddha-dishi-hanitraya
Buddha-dishi-hanitraya
Buddha Sukshmendriya Mano
Buddha Sukshmendriya Mano
Buddha Dishvihanitraya
Buddha Dishvihanitraya
Vinisvasati Yastatra
Vinisvasati Yastatra
Vinidro Nirankriya
Vinidro Nirankriya
Anyways
Buddha Sukshmendriya Mano
Buddha Sukshmendriya Mano
Vinisvihanitraya
Buddha Dishvihanitraya
Vinisvasati yastatra
Vinisvasati yastatra
Vinidro nirahankriya
Vinidro nirahankriya
Vinidro nirahankriya Bhutas, materials, Shukshma, the objects of enjoyment, Indriya, the material senses, Mana, the mind, Buddhi, intelligence, Adishu, and so on, Iha, air, Nidraya, by sleep, Dinesu, merged, Ashati, in the unmanifest, Yam, who, Tatra, there, Vinidra, awake, Nirahangriya, free from false ego. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Although the Bodhi appears to be merged in the five material elements, the objects of material enjoyment, the material senses, and the material mind and intelligence, he is understood to be awake and to be freed from the false ego. Please repeat. Although the Bodhi appears to be merged in the five material elements, the objects of material enjoyment, the material senses, and material mind and intelligence, he is understood to be awake and to be free from the false ego. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The explanation by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of how a person can be liberated even in this body is more elaborately explained in this verse. The liberated who has become Satyadrik, who realizes his position in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may remain apparently merged in the five elements of matter, the five material sense objects, the ten senses, and the mind and intelligence. But still he is considered to be awake and to be free from the reaction of false ego. Here the word hina is very significant. The Mayavadi philosophers recommend merging into the impersonal effulgence of Brahman. That is their ultimate goal or destination. Their merging is also mentioned here. But in spite of merging, one can keep his individuality. The example given by Jiva Goswami is that a green bird that enters a green tree appears to be merged in the color of greenness. But actually the bird does not lose its individuality. Similarly, a living entity merged either in the material nature or in the spiritual nature does not give up its individuality. Real individuality is to understand oneself to be the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. This information is received from the mouth of Lord Chaitanya. He said clearly upon the inquiry of Sanatana Goswami that a living entity is the servant of Krishna eternally. Krishna also confirms in Bhagavad Gita that the living entity is eternally his parampasana. The parampasana is meant to serve the whole. This is individuality. It is so even in this material existence, when the living entity apparently merges in matter. His gross body is made up of five elements. The subtle body is made up of mind, intelligence, false ego, and contaminated consciousness. And he has five active senses and five knowledge-acquiring senses. In this way, he merges in matter. But even while merged in the 24 elements of matter, he can keep his individuality as the eternal servitor of the Lord. Either in the spiritual nature or in the material nature, such a servitor is to be considered a liberated soul. That is the explanation of the authorities, and it is confirmed in this verse. Buddha Shukmendriya Manu Buddhyada Buddhyadisvi Buddha Adi Vishanidriya Vineshriyashriyastatra Vinidro Nirahangriya. Although the body appears to be merged in the five material elements, the objects of material enjoyment, the material senses, and material mind and intelligence, he is understood to be awake and to be free from the false ego. Oma jnanata manandasya jnana jnana salakaya chakshurun gritangina tasmai shi guruve namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manomistam Dapitam Enam Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gidavayam Dati Svamadam Dikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Girara Shivashri Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the explanation of material nature given by Kapila Dev or Kapila Muni. Of course, this Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that this word Leena is very significant. This Leena is, of course, in English language would be perhaps explained as merging. This merging of consciousness, of course, is a very important discussion in all philosophy, particularly in the what we call the Dvaita Advaita concepts of absolute reality. Dvaita Advaita, dual and non-dual. The idea of a non-dual existence, because in the material world, everything is filled with duality. Duality means where there is opposites. Just like there is, whenever there is any kind of variegatedness, there is favorable and unfavorable experiences. Of course, the material world is full of opposites. And on account of this duality, therefore there is what we call the experience of happiness and distress. We have happiness, distress, loss, gain, we have heat, cold, sometimes we are feeling victorious, sometimes we are feeling defeated, there is high and low. So all of these different conditions, they are all within this measurable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity is experiencing various types of action and reaction within the material world. So generally people become disgusted with the experience of the material world. We must understand that the experience of the material world is always inadequate. It's actually unwholesome. There's no real, what we call, perfect or complete experience. There's no wholesome experience within the material world. Material life itself is a life of inexperience. We try to experience the three things which are particularly analyzed in Sankhya philosophy is the observer, the instruments by which one observes, and the object of observation. So these three things are very distinctly categorized. The word Sankhya means to count, or to properly, in a sense, dissect the material energy, to understand what is really going on. Most people in the material world don't really know what is going on. They are generally victims. Because the living entity in the material world is very tiny. This very insignificant living entity is struggling very hard. Struggling very hard with the various different energies of the Supreme Personality of God. So Sankhya philosophy means to analyze our situation. So the observer, just like we are observing, when I am in the body, but I'm observing the body. Just like I say my finger, I don't say I finger. I'm observing my finger. I'm observing my body, but I'm not I body. No one can say I body. My experience of the body is not total. It's not actually connected. It's an experience from a detached position. So there is a difference, a jewel, a clear duality between me and the body. And that distinction between me and the body is very, very important, because either I am a body or I'm not a body. I can't say that sometimes I'm a body and sometimes I'm not. So, therefore, when we say my body, something which I am utilizing, so the distinct difference between the observer and the body, this is described in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna describes the body as the field, and the soul as the knower of the field, and of knowledge. So these things are there. There's the body, the knower of the body, and knowledge. And when the knowledge is weak, then the attachment to the body is very great. That's why animal life is simply a life devoid of knowledge. The difference between an animal and a human is based upon actual realization or knowledge. Knowledge means experience. Experiencing jurisdiction, just like everybody has a particular field of experience and jurisdiction. We are restricted, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Ramayavansa Jiva Loga Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, Namasastani Indriyani, Prapitistani Karshati, that the living entities, they are my five apostles, they are in me and they are mine, but due to the conditions of life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses which include the mind. So, all of these bodies are different types of experiences. So the difference between one who is experiencing is called what we call Kshetra Gyan, the knower of the field, one who knows the field, then there's the field. And when we call the body has a function. The body has a particular function. So the body is made up of indriya, senses, and there are sense objects. So the sense objects, such as form, smell, taste, touch, these are all the wonderful creation of the Supreme Personality of God. So we see that the living entity is situated in the body, and according to his weakness of knowledge, he becomes more and more attached to the bodily concept and attached to the objects of sense gratification. We become attached to the objects, just like an animal is very attached to the objects of sense gratification. You cannot separate the animal from the objects of his sense gratification. You see? How do you know there's an animal? Just like when someone is behaving very greedily, you say, you're like an animal. Isn't it? People say that, you're like an animal. Because they don't have the developed consciousness to understand that there's a distinct difference between the observer, the instruments for observation, and the object of observation. And that is what the analytical process of Sankhya is there, so is that one actually must realize that at the moment one has become apparently merged in matter. The living entity is merged in the material world, because the living entity is what we call ashraya. Ashraya means one who takes shelter, and the Lord is known as Vishaya. So he is the object of shelter. So the living entity is taking shelter. Everyone takes shelter. We can see, all of us, we are totally dependent upon our shelter. Our body is our shelter. And that shelter, we have taken shelter, just like one takes shelter in an inn. If you go to an inn, you take shelter in the inn. And in the inn, there's certain facilities for one's comfort, for one's feeding. Just like when you go to an inn, what happens when you go to an inn? You sleep and you eat and have a little bit of sense gratification. So similarly, when you take shelter of a body in the material world, one engages in all types of sense gratificatory activity according to the particular type of body. Prakriti Kriyamanani, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, that the body itself is created by Prakriti, and according to that particular type of Prakriti nature, one has a particular type of function or activity. So, therefore, within the what we would call the human beings, there are many different types of varieties of consciousness, and basically they can be categorized into those who are pursuing a higher plane of existence and those who are simply pursuing their animal activities. Within the existence of pursuance of higher existence, you have various types of philosophies, but basically they are personal and impersonal. The impersonal philosophy, of course, generally is this idea of merging with the absolute truth, the idea that all of us belong to a superior energy, and when we disconnect from this lower energy, this limited energy, this material energy, then we can be reinstated in our spiritual energy. And generally most people's idea of spiritual energy is that it is devoid of description or devoid of comprehension. It's generally very vague. In most religions you'll find that the idea of God is very always vague. Even if God is given some sort of personalization, it's never very clear. So therefore, the beauty of Vaishnava religion, or Krishna consciousness, is that it gives a very, very clear description about the absolute truth. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarna Karanam. That Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So therefore, when one understands God as a person, then everything else becomes in its proper perspective. Then this, what we call this, varieties of the material world become perfectly understood. Otherwise, without personalization, how can varieties have any meaning? You see, without personalization, how can variety have any meaning? So, the idea of the impersonalist is to annihilate variety. Because as soon as you accept that there is some kind of variety on the spiritual plane, then you have to have personalization. So, therefore, generally they reject all ideas of variegatedness or any kind of description of the spiritual realm. Generally, this is very attractive to the living entities because there's no accountability. If one does not have to recognize the personality of Godhead, then there's no need to understand one's relationship, one's responsibilities. So therefore, that enjoying mood will continue because generally, the tendency of the living entity is to lord it over. And the concept of the living entity is that energy itself is there to serve his purpose. You see, the idea of energy, all of us, when we think of energy, we think in relationship to what that particular energy can do for us. Just like if we see heat, we want to take service from it. If we see in the summer, we like cold, because we can take service from it. We like forms that we can take service. So all this idea of engaging energy in our service is the predominating feature within the material world. And therefore the concept of the spiritual energy being devoid of characteristics makes the spiritual energy very serviceable. Because it means that the spiritual energy is only there to give us relief, to give us pleasure, to give us some sort of, experience of completeness or oneness. But we can see that this concept of the Absolute Truth is actually demonic. It's a demonic concept because the idea that God should be something that has to render us service is a demonic principle. So the idea of the spiritual world being impersonal, and therefore within the impersonal philosophy there are various types of different philosophies, most of them with the idea that we become God, or we become one with the oneness, or we become merged in the oneness, we become generally equal in all respects. Impersonalism itself is total equality. So therefore, the beauty of Vaishnava religion is that within the oneness there is also variegatedness. That variegatedness within the spiritual world is a complete different type of variegatedness than within the material world. The idea of variegatedness in the material world is based upon a false conception of life. So, when the living entity enters back into the spiritual world, he becomes Kaivalya. That means he becomes situated on a plane of oneness. But that does not mean that he loses his individuality. There will be no need for that. Because within the spiritual world, everything is of the same absolute nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So everything is one. There is no difference between Krishna and his body, Krishna and his pastimes, Krishna and his paraphernalia. So this philosophy of Achintya Advaita Advaita Tapa simultaneously, one and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the highest philosophy because it actually explains the reason behind variegatedness. Otherwise, there's no reason. Just like if we accept that God is impersonal, then what would the need of personal? What would be the need of variegatedness? If God was devoid of personality, what would the need of variegatedness be? There's no logical reason. Just like they say, Mayavadi, that Brahma Satyam Jagat Mrityu. They say that the Absolute Truth is real, but the material world is not real. But yet they are very much expert at trying to enjoy this energy. They're very expert at engaging this energy. So this platform of Kaivalya, oneness, is there. And therefore it's called the Chintya Veda Aveda, simultaneously one and yet different. The difference being the transcendental manifestation of the Lord's different variegated energies. So therefore the living entity understands his perfect position as being part and parcel of the complete whole. Just like we are all parts. Nobody can say they are the complete. We're all parts. Just like if you study material energy, you find that all energy, it has relationship with other energy in terms of being a part of a system. Just like in our bodily system, the parts of the body are all perfectly or equally involved in the complete arrangement. Just like in our body, we have our hands, our feet, our tongue, our nose, our ears, all of these different things. They're all functioning in relationship to the complete body. We have just like the part of the body, just like the hand is serving the body. The body itself is a part of the material nature. Nature itself is serving the body. The body is serving nature. So there is these complete systems. We call them ecological systems, physical systems, so many different words. But it's describing how everything has perfect relationship with everything else. And that relationship is the thing which has to be understood, because at the moment our relationship is based upon false conception of life. So it is not relationship that is wrong, it's the false conceptions which are wrong. So therefore it's not a question of getting rid of material energy, it's a question of understanding material energy. Most people in a spiritual life, they want to get away from material energy. That's a tendency to get away from material energy because of what we call adverse experience or inauspicious experience or miseries. Like we have so many miseries of the material energy. On account of there being so many miseries of the material energy, we tend to negate. Therefore, this is called bodha tyaga. In the bodha, this is hankering and lamenting. So Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Pasanapan, the Sojatina Kanchati. That on the Brahma Bhuta plane, there is no more Nasojati nor Nakanchati. There's no more hankering. That we're actually somehow in control, or that we have some sort of mastership over this situation. The natural tendency is to think that by some adjustment, by making some adjustment, that I will actually be able to create an adequate experience, just like I'm having an inadequate experience. So I want to have an adequate experience. That's all that existence is about, is experience. Everybody wants to experience. And when at the moment we're having an inadequate experience, so we are blaming material energy for our inadequate experience. Therefore we want to get out of material energy. We want to dump it, get rid of it. Just like someone gets a wife and then they find she's not as good as they thought, so they want to get rid of her. Divorce. We want to divorce ourselves. We get a car we don't like, or a computer we don't like, or we get something we don't like, we want to divorce ourselves from it. This is called rejection, or what we call tyaga. We become renunciates. But in Krishna consciousness, a devotee should understand, as Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam partam dayatam prapitam ashritya, that the Mahatmas, the devotees, they are always under the protection of my transcendental energy. The devotee does not have to make any adjustments in the material world. It's not actually required. The only adjustment required is to actually become situated in knowledge. That one should become situated in knowledge of understanding the relationship between the living entity and Krishna. The living entity should understand his relationship with Krishna. Because one should never separate Krishna from his energy. That is called separatist mentality. So if Krishna should not be separated from his energy, then that also means that whatever I'm experiencing, that is Krishna's mercy. You see, that is Krishna's mercy. But generally, we cannot tolerate that mercy. We don't see it as mercy. Rather, we see it as an interference in our sense gratification. And therefore, because it's an interference in our sense gratification, we try to make so many adjustments. And that is the demonic principle. The demonic principle is to constantly be making adjustments. The materialist is always making adjustments, so many adjustments. So-called advancement, all it is different types of adjustments. Just like Prabhupada says, I'm inconvenienced because I walk, but now I can run 100 miles an hour on rubber wheels. So I've made some progress. But the fool does not understand that the inconvenience itself was the cause of the car. There's no need of a car. But because there's an inadequate feeling when one walks, one feels tired or exhausted like that. Therefore, one has to create karma to relieve one of the experience. So this constant adjustment of the material world is a futile attempt of the living entity to try to create some sort of permanent existence, some sort of acceptable existence. But then Krishna is saying that from the highest planets to the lowest, all of these places are places of misery. In these places, Krishna says, there is only repeated birth and death. So, just like if you want to enjoy, you don't go to a graveyard, isn't it? One doesn't go to a graveyard to enjoy. The material world is a graveyard. Mrityaloka. Krishna says mritya. What does it mean? Mritya means death. This is the planet of death. So, one should understand that if I'm here, what am I here? I'm here because I have somehow merged with this concrete energy. Just like concrete, isn't it? Material world is like concrete. We are all different types of concrete matter. We may say that, oh, I'm not as gross as concrete, but if you have a dead body and a piece of old concrete, what is the difference? One is harder than the other, isn't it? But there's actually no difference whatsoever between a dead body and a piece of old concrete. So, we have taken shelter of concrete, and therefore our consciousness has become like concrete, isn't it? We're all walking around like pieces of concrete. You see? And then we're thinking, this is not a nice experience. You see? It's not a very nice experience because generally the gross material energy gives gross experience, but the spirit is subtle. We belong to a subtle plane, spiritual plane. So therefore, when one becomes more and more elevated, then one enters into the subtle things, like in the material world we see when people become more cultured, they go into the realm of higher things, subtler things. Then they become attached to the mind and the intelligence, the false ego. So, therefore, the living entity has merged himself within this material world, and somehow or other, he's become more, due to so much association, he's become like concretized by matter. So in order to, if you like, remove this false attachment to the material world, then one has to make a transcendental adjustment, not a material adjustment, transcendental adjustment. And that transcendental adjustment is devotional service. Devotional service. So the Savai Pamsamparodhamo, that supreme occupational duty of all mankind is by that which one obtains to transcendental devotional service to the glorious Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to give complete satisfaction to the self. It is there in a nutshell in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeyatma supersedati means then the Atma can become satisfied, supersedati, can become actually happy. So, devotional service must be oitaki, it must be free from all ideas of motivated service, just like we are always motivated. Everyone in the material world, all these billions and billions and billions of living entities, they're all motivated. Every one of them, every single last one of them are completely motivated. Isn't it? Find anyone in this world who's not motivated, whether he's a cockroach stealing a little bit of maha from underneath the deity's offering, or whether he's a little ant, or whether he's a big vulture, or whether he's a big prime minister of England, or whatever. They're all motivated. Motivated activity. So we are merged into the material world on account of our motivated desires. You see, that's why we come here, because we became motivated. Motivated by the idea of enjoying separately from Krishna. So Krishna consciousness means simply removing that one principle of motivation from false motivation to real motivation. Because there is motivation. Motivation is a natural concomitant factor of consciousness. It's a kind of remove motivation from consciousness because that principle of ego is there but there is false ego and real ego. So therefore one has to establish one's real ego That is the process of bhakti. One must come to the plane of re-ego. One must come to the platform of activity on the re-ego platform, not the false ego platform. So that requires expert guidance of the spiritual master and the shastra, guru shastra sadhu. And the requirement is that one must have a sincere desire to give up this material motivated activity. And of course that doesn't mean that artificially one can immediately transfer oneself to the spiritual plane. But gradually, by proper, as Krishna says, the dhammi buddhi yoga, by proper use of intelligence, one can gradually come to this platform of sincerely engaging oneself in unmotivated devotional service to Krishna. So, I think we'll stop there, time is up. Is there any question at all? Anyone have any question or point?
When you said the body is like a piece of concrete, and then you're thinking the dead body, you refer to the dead body. You know, Krishna in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says that Lord Krishna is in every atom, in the form of Paramatma. So if you divide, are you speaking, or like for example the microphone you're speaking, you divide the microphone into so many atoms, and there is a Paramatma inside, because Krishna says, you know, I'm in every atom. And also in Brahma Samhita it says that the Paramatma is never alone. Wherever there is Paramatma, there is Atma, the soul. So I was very thinking at what point we're able to separate between matter and spirit.
Krishna says that although everything is rested in me, he says, I am not in it. In Bhagavad Gita, he says, behold my mystic offences. So this is where you get into a very kind of esoteric aspect of philosophy, because in Ishopanishad also it says Tarajiti, Tadnajiti, Tadare, Tadvantike, Taratarasi, Sarvasha, Taru, Sarvasha, Shabayata. The spring lord walks, but he does not walk. He's very far away, but he's very near as well. He's inside of everything, but he's outside of everything. So in the understanding of the absolute truth is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do. That first principle must be understood, that he is both completely avidya and svarat. Understand this point that jamada shetra tascha desi avidya svarat, that which everything comes from is completely avidya svarat. He is totally conscious and independent. We say when there is consciousness with independence, we don't understand, because we have consciousness with dependency. See, our experience of consciousness is within the limit of dependency. So, the idea of an independent consciousness, which is not dependent on anything, is a very difficult concept to understand, because when we say that the President of the United States is very powerful, but he's dependent. You see? So if the President of the United States said that he's in every house in America, people would lock him up because they'd say he's a nutcase. You see, how can he be in every house in America and be in the White House as well? Because he's a limited entity. He has limited consciousness. He has limited power. But when we speak about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is within every single atom within his creation. And at the same time, he has no business to be there, because his business is enjoying. So when it indicates that the Lord is doing that, it means that by his inconceivable energy, incomprehensible energy, God is there within every single particle of energy. He's there in his entirety. So Prabhupada gives example that just like the sun is very powerful, so the sun is on everyone's head at the same time, isn't it? Just like when you're in England and it's sunny, which is not very often, but when it is sunny, everyone's got the sun on their head. It's not that just people in one mild area have the sun and the other people, because the sun is very powerful. It has the capacity to be sitting on everyone's head, in a group example. So similarly, the sun is reflected in millions of buckets. If you have millions of buckets of water, the sun is in each bucket. When you look at the bucket, you say, oh, the sun's in this one. Oh, the sun's in that one. The sun's in every bucket. So that's giving us a little crude example of understanding Krishna. That Krishna is there in the spiritual, in the transcendental world, Goloka. But at the same time, he's there within every single particle of his energy.
But what about the soul?
Now the soul is in the...
Because where it is, Paramatma, it must be the soul as well.
Yeah.
He's there or he's not there?
Yeah. Soul is there. Prabhupada was asked in one morning work, is the soul there in front of him?
So you understand my point, right? Is everything spiritual?
No, I understand your point. But it's a very difficult sort of physically to explain something which is not physical, because neither the soul nor Krishna are physical. They're not physical in the sense that we talk about measurement, but in actuality, in the sense that the soul is a spiritual measurement, not a material measurement. It says 10,000 part to give us an idea, understanding, but it's a spiritual atom of Krishna. Any other questions? Srimad Bhagavatam Aparam Ki Jai.